Well, greetings, friends. It's really good to see everybody again. You know, so many people locally and elsewhere have been dealing with terrible family issues and crises. Health, mental, neighbors, you name it, there's problems out there. There certainly appears to be more grief this year or the last year than I have ever seen in my whole life condensed into one little thing. And it's a great struggle. Like, where do you go? What do you do for strength? How do you get away from the confusion that is so unusual? Thomas Paine said many years ago, "These are the times that try men's souls." And this truly is. This last year for a lot of people have had a lot of struggle. How often have we heard the expression, to be prepared to give an answer? I have a feeling that we will be asked more and more as times get tougher and tougher. And we need to prepare our minds and hearts for those things. The world and God's people have and are struggling with some very serious issues. Thus, the lesson for all is to be prepared at all times. Stay grounded in an understanding of Scripture. It is so hard to explain to people that just have a little dab of this and a little dab of that, and there's no depth. And then they go aimlessly out into the wilderness, the jungle, so to speak. We just left 2020. You know, 2020 for your eyes is something great. 2020 for society was not great. It was a time of struggle and difficulty. Was it a wake-up call for us to be prepared for things yet to come? Remember, we are not too far from Passover and the days of unleavened bread. It is an unusual reminder that we ought to engage in self-examination and recognize the sacrifice of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, be mindful that we ought not to lose heart in these difficult times and stay focused on our great calling and the truths of God. You're going to hear so much misconception where even the wise may be confused and confounded. With that in mind, consider this, what it says in Ephesians 4:23, that we ought to do this, to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Let us be with the Spirit of God within us. We have something that too many people don't have at this time, and we could be helps and encourages to those that are struggling and have nowhere to go, nowhere to turn. Remember what it says in Luke 18:1. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. I'm not going to ask a show of hands, but I will raise my hand. How many have really struggled and have almost felt like you were on the verge of defeat and it was the end? I could say that for me. It was difficult. Many last year and prior years and leading into the present know of so many family or friends that have been discouraged and scattered over the years, too often forgetting their core foundation. I know people that have been religious in other groups. They've had the rug pulled out from underneath them. Nations around the world seem to be on the brink of disaster as morals take a deeper, darker, and uglier appearance. I would like you to take note. This is tied in. I have a tie. You could look at it later. It's a blue tie. It was given to me by a man, and he wrote a book. But the verbal connection with it, how to swim with the sharks without being eaten alive. Think about that. Across the spectrum of the political and religious realms, so many take on the appearance of apostasy. Some of our best friends have probably taken on apostasy in their lives. Can it rub off on us? If not careful, it can. Though never perfect, let's face it, this nation and other nations have allowed a degree of goodness to be overcome by, I'm going to use these terms, nihilistic tyranny and a society without a God. More and more you hear about people say, let's do this, let's do that. Contrary to specific Christian principles that they may have held 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. People are not using the Bible as an anchor. Let's not buy into the deceptions of this age and the transgressions of so many who are leading the attack on any form of Christianity. And we hear about it with friends. We know of people in the family. They go to certain churches and they've had the pressure put on them. Has the pressure really hit us yet? Perhaps not. Because we're not out there in the forefront yet. The title of this message is The New Covenant and the Law. The New Covenant and the Law. The basic synopsis is, does the New Covenant override the laws of God? Too many today are confused, and almost more than any other time in the history of mankind. More often than not, we are bombarded with anti-Christian railings. You believe in men, one man and one wife? What are you, sick? And the rest of the synopsis. More often than not, we are bombarded, like I said, with anti-Christian railings. Let us consider this. Christ never, ever came to do away with the law. First point. Too many believe the new covenant abolishes God's law. And some in a major organization, like one organization, I'm not going to mention the name, a man essentially stated that the Sermon on the Mount of Christ negates the Ten Commandments. What book is he reading? The man stated the Ten Commandments no longer apply to us as a people. And if that's the case, that's why we have so many problems. That's why we have so many people lying, so many people cheating, so many people riotous, not recognizing. It says, basically, we need to chill out. We need to stand close to Jesus Christ. We need to stand close to the commandments. We today are now seeing the repercussions of this. Seriously, this attitude can include those not called and even those who get careless. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. How many of you know of people in the church that have drifted back? Too many. Will they awaken? Hopefully they will. I don't give up on anybody. I've met people from 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago who may be coming back on track. I can't judge and say because he's over there and not with us that he is contrary to us, that we need to hate him or abuse him. No. Jesus Christ never did that. He forgave people that were willing to repent. Not everyone. Sometimes they go through the motion of repenting, but they never turn their lives around. As we go on, let's consider this from 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. You know, we often see those pictures of Satan with a pitchfork and stuff like that, and he looks so, well, he looks terrifying, and we wouldn't go near there. But Satan doesn't come across that way. He's more subtle than that. He may have things that look good. It's kind of like getting around into the open fields, and we see all these beautiful plants. You have to be careful. Those beautiful plants may be poison ivy. You don't touch everything out there. Through history, there have been so many that use smooth, sly words to confuse and mislead. This is especially true if we actively and purposely choose the wrong path in life. People are so adamant that their way is the right way. God doesn't say that. God says, follow me. Let's face it, so many have forgotten their origins along the way to conversion. We read this in Isaiah 30, verse 10. Isaiah 30, verse 10. Who says to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us what is right? Speak to us, smooth things, prophesy illusions. That was Isaiah 30, verse 10. People readily in or out of the church can easily turn from the truth, especially if they get careless and sloppy. And when we're under stress, it is so easy to get careless and sloppy. This happened to me many times. Let's continue in Isaiah 30, 11 to 13. Isaiah 30, 11 to 13. Leave the way, turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. People stop up their ears. They don't want to hear about Christianity at this moment in time. Therefore, in verse 12, therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise the word and trust in oppression and perseverance and rely not on them. 13, therefore, this iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly and in an instant. People are going to go out and have fun. Oh, I don't have to worry about drinking anymore. Get sloppy drunk, get in an accident, hurt somebody, maybe kill yourself. What do you mean? You don't have to be careful anymore. When you drive down the road, any of us, we need to be alert of the surroundings. For some reason, I notice that when I'm driving down the freeway, I am seeing more and more people weaving in and out just to get a little bit in front of you. Don't follow that pattern, because you follow that pattern, you're going to have a serious accident. We hear and read some strange things more and more these days. Read this warning in Romans 16:18. Romans 16:18. For such persons do not serve our Lord, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. If we are strong in reading the book and somebody throws out something that doesn't quite sound right, check it out. Check out the truth of the matter, and you can avoid hurting yourself spiritually and physically. We see wide swaths of hatred and disaster on the world scene. I don't think I've seen so much. It's just, and people are endorsing this group or that group that is evil, doing bad things. There are great travails on the common man. Mankind's heart is truly deceitful above all things. Let us read this in Jeremiah 17:9. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? It can infect the unconverted and the careless. Jeremiah 17:9, continuing. For us, the times may be well more dangerous. No, this was a comment that I had. May be more dangerous and tenuous than it was in such times during the 60s. Many of us know that the 60s were not always the best of times. The world was on the verge of nuclear war. When the dictator of one country is slamming his shoe on the table and saying, I want my way, and then they're sending IRBMs, inter-range ballistic missiles, off the coast of Cuba. How close did we come? I could talk later about part of it that I read about some submariners, but ask me later, and hopefully between here and there, I'll remember, you know. But as you get older, it gets harder and harder to remember. Anyway, over time, many have departed from and will depart from sound teaching, especially as society tumbles into total disarray. It's not just the United States having problems. The world is having problems. The world is realigning. There's one major power coming up, and another is beginning to say, whoa, wait a minute. We can't let him rule us. We must build ours. A potential war between Europe and the Orient? Possible. How soon? I have no clue. We must be especially vigilant in these times of travails and the troubles of man. Are we preparing our minds and our hearts for trials yet to come? Stand your ground. Hold fast to the truth that you know, despite the propaganda that comes from outside. At this time, I see so many with sore trials like never before. And, you know, we have people die. People are extremely sick. I've never seen so many in all my years. It's so tragic. Remember, all this reminds me of the struggle that Israel may have had to face in the time of the Exodus. They couldn't sit around and just do nothing. And even when they went out and did something, they had to be guided along the way to make a full escape out of Egypt, which is at times called a type of sin. Just what do we do in troubled times? Many false prophets are out there, and people look to angelic signs. I haven't heard of that happening in the church, but I've heard talk sometimes where God told me to do this, and it doesn't abide by Scripture. People think they are the sole repository of truth. It's not always right. For the most part, we all fall short. We know Scripture says we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We must, this is point two, we must study to show ourselves approved. And we could read this in 2 Timothy 2:15-18. 2 Timothy 2:15-18. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth, in verse 16, but avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. And in verse 17, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Has anybody in here, I'd like to see a show of hands, has anybody here had gangrene? Nobody. I had a foster brother. He was 2 years older than me. He came down with gangrene in one foot, and then he came down with gangrene in the other foot. He was so much bigger and stronger than me. If he was around today, I think he would be 82 years old. He died close to 20 years ago. I lived with him. He was a foster brother. I lived with his mother. He was a great guy. I got to know him later. And boy, did he have the gift of gab. Me? You couldn't get me up in Spokesman Club. I had to force myself to do that. It was one tough job. But I made that vow that I would get up and I would speak at least once every night. And I hated the subjects because I didn't like sports. And there are everybody's always talking about sports. I liked graduate club. You could speak of more spiritual matters, and it worked a lot better. But anyway, I learned the gift of gab, and sometimes I'm sorry I talk too much. And but there's people, they need talking too. And there's times we all need to listen. I'm going to repeat what it says. Verse 18, I don't think I read that. The ones that they were talking about right after the gangrene was Hymenaeus and Philetus. In verse 18 of 2 Timothy 2, who have swerved or strayed from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. You know, there's people, I remember years ago, probably 2, 3, 4 years ago, one man was so adamant Christ would return by May. It didn't happen. And then he was adamant it would happen by the end of summer. It didn't happen. Then he said, oh, I made a mistake. It's going to happen at the end of December. It never happened, and he died. It's tragic that he so devoted himself into a false doctrine, a false gossip of trying to give hope to people. And when you do false things like that, how many people are eventually turned off? You know, God has truly opened up a door for each of us. Let us simply knock and go through that open door to the truth. Let us ponder this verse where Christ stated, for nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. That's Luke 8:17. The words of our Savior. Nothing ultimately will be secret. There's times we will not know about certain things, but the time is not yet right. Don't ask me the specifics of the book of Revelation. I don't have a clue. I think people in the 70s thought they had a clue. They were wrong. People later in the 80s and 90s, they thought they had a clue. They were wrong. Some people just jump to conclusions. Remember, jumping to conclusions is like jumping off a cliff, which can be very painful when you land. Both lead downward and hurt when you hit the bottom. How many of us have been there in our own lives where we hit bottom for a while? And then the realization came that we need to set our lives on course with what God would have us to do, not what my neighbor would have me to do, Not what my mommy or daddy or whoever. Sometimes we may have to stand alone. I wonder, we could talk later about this. I know I talk to people, and some people say when they came into church, they had a group of people that understood church matters, and they were able to go. But there's a lot of other people, like me and there's several others I know, they couldn't find anybody to talk to for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. But then eventually they came into the church and they are standing fast with the truth. Each one of us can do that, but we have to have that right perspective and not think that I know everything right now, which I don't. Let's continue reading in 2 Timothy 2:19. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone whose name the Lord, whose name's the Lord, depart from iniquity. If we claim Jesus Christ is our Savior, if we claim God the Father is there for us, recognize you can avoid sin. Lest we forget, be reminded what it says in Matthew 24:12. And because lawlessness, also called iniquity in some versions, because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will wax cold. Aren't we in somewhat of an era like that? We've seen people draw back, pull back, go into hiding. God says, join in fellowship when able. There'll be times that you can't, but you can't stand alone. There will be times that you may have to make a choice that is tough, and you have to stand alone at that time. But God does not expect us to be there all by ourselves. He talks about fellowship, and we know that. We could see a lot of these problems in the world today. And we absolutely must stand fast to the faith. Let's turn and read something else in 1 Timothy 4:1-2. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later or latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to, listen carefully, listening to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. Sometimes I can't have talks with people I know, because if I did, we would get into a discussion that would turn angry. There's times to do it and times not. And recognize those times. Ask God for wisdom to help us through those really difficult times. Those times may be tougher than most may think, so we need to be ever on guard. Let us be wary of straying from the truth because of the flaws of others. Have we ever seen somebody do something silly spiritually, and then have we ever whitewashed it, and thus making it easier possibly for us to do such things? That happens. Human nature is that way. God created human nature, no matter how you want to join together with an ideology, with a political organization, with a a union, you name it. They want to join together and work together in harmony. Right now we're being scattered all over the place. Never forget, the natural mind is hostile towards God, as is stated in Romans 8:7. I'm not going to turn there, but you could write that down. Romans 8:7. Let's look at this a bit deeper from another perspective. 1 Timothy 6:3-6. 1 Timothy 6:3-6. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words, now what are those words? Now, it could be on our cell phone. It could be on the book in our lap. It could be on our computer. It could be an audio. If we don't listen to those words of sound doctrine, the words of which is on any electronic device, then we read, let me reword, the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teachings that accords with godliness. Then we'll go on to 1 Timothy 6:4. He is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, or as the King James Version calls it, evil surmisings. I think there's a little more impact with that. And verse 5, 1 Timothy 6:5, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Where has integrity gone? How many have their hand out to do something good? Are we willing to do good without getting a pat on the back every time? We're not going to get a pat on the back every time. But we should still stick with what the scripture has to say. Do the right thing, no matter what. You may not be able to communicate with all people. They're not ready. We don't have to force them. God's time will help those people see that there's a time for repentance. There's a time to come to the truth. There's a time to get off our high horse and think that we know everything. And grasp this in verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. It is. I know when we're struggling, it's hard to focus on that. Now, I've had my aches, I've had my pains, and then I think to myself, why am I here groveling in the dirt? Get up, go about, and do God's business. There's a third point. Read the book. However you do it, electronically, paper, however you do it, read the book. There is life in the words of that book called the Bible. There are books of the Bible listed throughout Scripture. There are books of the Bible, as I said, throughout Scripture, both in the Old and New Testaments. And be reminded of this. Never, ever forget that the New Testament, which is a good book, was and could not have been codified till nearly 90 AD. John had work to do, and he wrote his book around 90 AD. I haven't read where they thought it was earlier, but it could have been as late as 95, 96 AD, There's nothing exact on it. But the books, the New Testament, was eventually codified. Let's look at the words, the law of God, the law of God. Joshua 24:26. And most of what I'm reading comes out of the English Standard Version. There's multiple, many versions you could use. I like to use ESORD. It gives me a good comparison side by side. And that may not be for everyone. Not everybody has electronic means. But, and they all, almost every version has little bits and pieces of flaws that have slipped in. I know when I first, my first Bible to read was actually, it was a Catholic Bible. And the New Testament follows fairly closely. But I loved footnotes. I read footnotes. And I'm reading footnotes. And then I read the scripture. And it was somewhere in Matthew 5 or 6. I'm reading the footnotes. And I look at the scripture. I said, the scripture does not match what is being said down here. And I knew I had to prioritize and go back to the scripture. Eventually, about a year or two later, I came down with my, I think everybody used King James Version. But the King James Version wasn't written until what, about 16-something? And we don't speak that way anymore. Sometimes people think they have to speak exactly the way the scripture speaks. Ye and thou and thine and... Well, that doesn't work, especially if you're trying to translate into a foreign language. And there are multiple hundreds of Bibles around the world in different languages. There's Italian, there's Spanish, there's several Italian, and the German, and there's Chinese Bibles. So why would we just say only this version? And I've had people argue with me on forums. And sometimes I kind of concurred, and then I realized that if I'm reading a Bible, the Bible interprets itself. It will help you to understand verses that the commentators just can't seem to wrap their arms around. Let's look at the words, the law of God, as I said earlier, if I did. Joshua 24:26. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone, set it up there under the terebinth tree that was the sanctuary of the Lord. The book of the law of God. What was that? There was no King James Version at that time. Also, see this example in Nehemiah 8. Nehemiah 8. Again, English Standard Version made it for me. They read from the book, from the law of God. Clearly, and they gave the sense so that people understood the reading. Furthermore, when we skip ahead to Nehemiah 18, it has this to say. In Nehemiah 18, chapter 8, verse 18. And day by day, from the first day to the last day, he read from the book of the law. They kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day, there was a solemn assembly according to the rule. Aha! A feast of 7 days, and on the eighth day. Must have been during the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. And yet, people who only want to read the New Testament and possibly Psalms and Proverbs, they miss that point. And so they do holidays that have no association with Christian principles. Remember what it says here in Proverbs 3:1. My son, do not forget my teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments. Be ever mindful, Christ did not keep the commandments in our place. Christ followed the commandments as an example that we have a high place to reach out to. That we just can't stumble along in life and cast off this commandment because of convenience. How many of us have had struggles with various things? I had to go to court one time, and they said, do you vow to do this and that? I said, I can't say it that way. Oh, okay. So I didn't swear, but they accepted my reasoning, and I said, yes, I will tell the truth. Yet the scripture does tell you, let your yeses be yes and your noes no. Again, Proverbs 3:1. My son, do not forget my teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments. Be ever mindful, Christ did not keep the commandments in our place. He kept them as an example for us to follow. Never, ever believe the lies concerning this matter. And they are lies. These things are important, but remember, these do not cancel out the Ten Commandments. And these people, sometimes people will use these verses that I'm about to mention and think, well, that there, right there, you don't have to do this. Mark 12, 30 to 32. Mark 12, 30 to 32, and in the words of Jesus, and you shall love the Lord our God, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. These two synopses of how to relate to God and how to relate to neighbor, it doesn't cast the others away. Because among the others it says, don't lie, don't steal, don't kill. And of the first four, it says, follow God, not images. Beware of false images. Keep holy the Sabbath day. That hasn't changed. It changed with religious teachings that were misapplied and misused. Now, in Romans 8, 1 to 3, and verse 3, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Sin condemns. Sin is the transgression or breaking of the law. We don't have open borders to do that, to do whatever we want. We don't have that. We must show ourselves approved. This is the crux of what it says in Luke 18, 18 to 20. Luke 18, 18 to 20. And a ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit life, eternal life? And verse 19 says, and Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? Not one is good except God alone. And verse 20, you know the commandments. Ah, he's reiterating them. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. That's a sampling. That doesn't abolish the first four. That is throughout Scripture. Here we see some commandments as examples. And not meaning that the others are totally eliminated or deleted. Also, those listed here are not now allowable to break. We're not allowed to. Why would a man run into a store, take something, and think, well, it's okay, it's mine? No, it's not. Where's the integrity of the nation when people do such things as that? So we then read this in 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. We'll be drawing this to a conclusion. As we go on to conclusion, remember the three points. First point, some believe the new covenant abolishes God's law. Second point, we must study to show ourselves approved. Third point, read the book, the entirety of the book. And then, remember in the beginning I stated, don't buy into the deceptions of this age. Remember what was said earlier, Christ never came to do away with the law. If there is any doubt about the new covenant, remember this, it does not abolish the law of God, and neither does the Old Testament and broad swaths of the New Testament. As an example, early on in Genesis, it says, it talks about keeping commandments. There's certain commandments they did. Of course, later it was codified under Moses. But in reading the book of Revelation, one of the things it says, don't break God's commandments. You could look that up. Look up the word commandments in the book of Revelation. If it was done away, why is it still in the book of Revelation, which shows a time yet into the future? There is a time coming when some or many will look to us for an example, whether in the current age or the age to come. I'd like to quote from Isaiah 30:21. Isaiah 30:21. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. Will that be some of us trying to teach others in the future? Let me reread that again. Isaiah 30:21. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. And when you turn to the right, and when you turn to the left. I saw a movie years ago. See, God is saying, no matter which way you go, obey his commandments. I saw a movie years ago, and maybe this will help you remember some of this. It was about prisoners in Siberia. I believe they were Siberia. And the prisoners were told, step to the right, step to the left, get shot. I guess you better follow those guidelines. But more importantly, follow the guidelines that God is giving us in Scripture. We do have a higher calling and a great responsibility. Whatever we do, let us not forsake our high calling, especially as we see moral codes diminishing and more people are on the verge of striking out in great anger. Be careful what you say to your neighbor, politically or whatever. Don't even talk about how ugly their clothes are or how dirty they look. Don't ever do that. If you can encourage, give them something to think about. Well, he's really a nice guy. And my hope is that we can tear down walls of anxiety, frustration with people around us. Let us help heal the wounds of history, church history, real history. Somewhere in the future, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be out there helping people heal from the strife that took place before the millennia. Never forget, before starting the day, to ask what I can do to heal any breach in a relationship, whether with a man, woman, or a child. I think I've had good examples in my life as a child. I had good friends. And sometimes they would say, Joe, what are you doing that for? And I thought, oh, I don't know. I guess it was a stupid thing to do. So it was a warning. Sometimes we get these little warnings. As we draw this to a close, let us approach the weeks ahead as we approach the Passover and the days of unleavened bread with humility, yet vigor to obey God in all our doing. I'd like to give a final reference here. Romans 2:4. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? This is a reaffirmation of our acceptance of God's mercy. That is why we renew our covenant with God from year to year. And I have one little bit more. And remember this, it is better to walk alone than to walk with a crowd going in the wrong direction. If you find yourself in the pits or a spiritual hole, then stop digging deeper. Time to dig yourself out. Again, see that tie? How do you swim with the sharks without being eaten alive? And my last comment, God be with you, dear friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. Stand strong and stay the course. Set that right example for all people. Remember the words of Christ. Well done, good and faithful servant.